Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by our sales coaching and consulting services. Are you looking to create repeatable, scalable, and predictable revenue? We've helped thousands of companies grow their business with tailored expert advice backed by testing to ensure they establish the best practices that'll work for them. Head over to bit.ly/predictable revenue coaching to learn more. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Now, you have probably got lists of thousands of prospects and you know all the main players in your space, and you know that 80% of them are probably a waste of time, but you just don't know which 80% those guys are. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting with an expert about leveraging ABM to reach prospects that are actually worth your time. He's an industry consultant at SimilarWeb, specializing in e-commerce and marketing tech. He works closely with a variety of commercial operations to help them find, win, and retain more business by utilizing SimilarWeb's marketing intelligence data. Simeon Atkins, welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's a good sign. It means we enjoyed you the last time. So Simeon, tell me, what is account-based marketing? Why are we talking about it today?
Absolutely. So account-based marketing, ABM, is essentially a highly targeted, highly strategic form of customer acquisition within B2B marketing. It's a process that definitely combines sales and marketing, really requires them to work hand in glove together to initially identify, nurture, engage, and then ultimately close a set of very strategic accounts. So if we compare that to kind of general inbound marketing, where the strategy there would be to create the content first and then market it to a relatively broad set of your target audience, ABM is the reverse of that. So you start off by identifying which accounts and which personas you want to go after first, and then you tailor the content specifically around that target audience. There are kind of three key areas of ABM that we're going to go over today. I'll kind of briefly touch them now, and we'll go over them in more detail as we go on. So the first element is it's very strategic and targeted around a set of very specific accounts. So the best way to recognize ABM is very, very strategic and very focused. So as we said before, it's really about targeting quite a small group of accounts, certainly versus kind of like traditional inbound marketing, which would be catering to a much wider audience. So it's much more kind of tailored towards a smaller set of audiences. And that's kind of determined on what the ROI that you've determined would be from those accounts. So you'd be targeting accounts that you would be perceived to give you a high return of investment, or might offer you kind of high strategic value to your book of business. So it could be a very significant company that might not be paying you a lot of dollars initially, but you know that you could grow them into quite a large account down the line. And it might be a case of having that logo on board and associated with your brand is going to then help bring others on board as well. The second element to ABM is it's very much a multi-channel process. So this kind of omni-channel approach is super important for ABM. So it's going to be using things like email, social, using virtual and in-person events. Because it's really kind of geared towards different audiences, and you need to make sure the messaging is coming across the right way, and that's definitely going to, you know, need you to use a variety of different channels. And then the third element is really this kind of feedback loop as well, which is definitely an area that gets overlooked quite a lot in not just ABM but in marketing in general. But it's really important to assess how much you're spending on the campaigns, obviously what the return investment was on the campaigns, how long the campaigns ran for, to really get an idea of where the success was, and then obviously what you can do in the future to improve those campaigns moving forward as well.
Got it. So you mentioned that one of the big things here is that the sales team and the marketing team are really working together on this. So what kind of value do you see when sales reps are doing their part in this ABM approach?
Yeah, absolutely. And just one thing actually to go back to my previous answer as well, because you asked us why we were talking about it. And I think it's important just to highlight why we're bringing this up and why it's such an important subject. I think firstly, it can be a game changer for companies. If it's done well, it really can, you know, help revenues and logos skyrocket. But I think the other thing as well is that we find that in a lot of cases, it's not being done in the most effective way. And so what we're going to try and do in this podcast is sort of walk through some of the do's and don'ts in terms of your ABM strategy and hopefully kind of give you some best practices moving forward. So in terms of the benefits for sales reps, because of the nature of ABM, because it's very targeted, because you're pre-engaging clients before you're reaching out to them, it means that the sales teams are going to be talking with companies that should have a much better product alignment with your solution. And so one of the byproducts of that is that there's less of a need for cold calling. So cold calling is obviously always going to have a place within sales, but I think we can appreciate that it's not always the most time effective way of closing deals. And so because sales reps are already talking with an audience that be predetermined to have a good product fit, will probably have been engaged at some point in the sales cycle, then it just means that there's less of a need for cold calling. I think one of the other beauties of ABM as well is the fact that you're going after specifically the decision makers or the people with high influence within that company. So what that is going to do hopefully is start to shorten sales cycles. So you're kind of almost negating straight to the top and I suppose leaving behind some of the other stakeholders that you might have to go through, which again, if you look at more traditional inbound marketing, because it's a little bit broader and a little bit more general, you're generally going to be attracting people that are lower down on the decision-making ladder. So again, having the benefit of speaking directly with decision makers is going to hopefully shorten those sales cycles. And then you kind of touched on it there as well. I think one of my favorite elements of ABM is it really does require a close alignment between sales and marketing. So ABM cannot be successful unless you have sales and marketing working closely together, whether that's identifying prospects in the first case, whether that's talking about the kind of messaging for the content, whether that's deciding when to actually reach out to the prospects as well. It really does require sales and marketing to be working hand in hand. So if nothing else, if you're looking for a way in your organization to kind of break down the silos between sales and marketing, then ABM is a great thing to do. And obviously that will have multiple benefits moving forward as well.
Absolutely. And what are some of those common mistakes that you see when it comes to leveraging ABM from either the sales rep perspective or the leadership perspective?
Yes, it's kind of going back on a few of those points I just mentioned there. I think some of the big ones would be not being targeted enough, maybe going after too big a pool of clients in a way, maybe being concerned that the pool that you're going after looks too small. But that's kind of the nature of ABM, is that you are going after a relatively small but very, very targeted group of accounts that you've already identified have a high strategic value. And so I think sometimes with these campaigns, you can be a little bit too broad. I think definitely it can break down if sales and marketing aren't working closely together, if they again go back into their silos, because there's going to be miscommunication in terms of what the content needs to be, who we need to be reaching out to, when sales need to engage with these prospects as well. So I think definitely having that alignment is super important as well. And again, going back to my area around the kind of different channels as well, we'll kind of touch on this a little bit later as well, but it really does require an omni-channel approach. And one of the reasons for that is that when you're speaking with different levels of decision makers, they're going to engage with content in different ways. So for example, if you're speaking to quite a high level executive, they might be engaging more with email newsletters that are going directly to their inbox that kind of deliver more concise information that they can digest in their own time. They might also respond better to ads on like LinkedIn, for example, rather than other social media like Facebook and Twitter. But then mid-level managers might have more time for things like webinars. So again, you know, narrowing down your approach to just a couple of different channels, again, is going to limit your success with ABM.
Yeah, makes sense. So if we want to get it right, where do we start?
Yes. So I think this answer will probably be speaking more to the people that will be designing and implementing the ABM strategy, but there's definitely some kind of key takeaways here for anyone that's involved with the process, I would say for sure. So the first step, and this is kind of how we approach it at SimilarWeb, the first step that we would take is assembling your ABM dream team. So there'll be some companies that will have the headcount to be able to just have teams that are dedicated specifically to ABM. But in most cases, it's kind of like a blended approach where you have marketing and sales reps that will be both looking after ABM, but also kind of doing their general day-to-day roles as well. I think what's really important when you're assembling your team is making sure that you have a combination of marketing reps and sales reps in that dream team. And these reps really need to be well-versed in your customers, what their pain points are, what their challenges are, as well as your own products and solutions. I think another thing that I'd recommend as well with your team members is you know, ABM is quite a strategic kind of plan of action. So I would definitely recommend having people that are quite strategic thinking people and very much performance driven as well. I think that's definitely going to help the process for sure. The second element then is identifying who you're targeting for this campaign. So if you haven't already identified your ideal customer profile, you definitely need to do that before you start anything else. Really, really important that you do that. Once you've identified that ideal customer profile, then you can start to think about which accounts are going to offer the highest value in terms of ROI and strategic value to our book of business. And you can use a few different performance metrics for this. You could have a look at, you know, what is the expected sales cycle for these types of companies? What is the strategic value in terms of, if I have this logo on my book of business, is that then going to attract other companies to join up with this as well? What kind of territories they're operating in? There's a number of different metrics that you can use, but it's really important that you identify that first before moving forward. Step three would then be, within those target companies, identifying who the decision makers are and who the influencers are within that company. So as we said before, the beauty of ABM is the fact that you're going after specifically the decision makers and the influencers within that company. Obviously, that is going to require you to have quite a lot of accurate contact data that's obviously compliant with the relevant kind of GDPR compliance metrics, etc. This, and I think the previous point that I made as well about finding those target companies, this is where sales intelligence tools can really help you in terms of finding the right companies and finding the right contacts. So if we take SimilarWeb as an example, which is obviously where I work, in terms of finding the right companies, we have what's called our lead generation tool, which is where you can put in a multitude of different metrics, where the company is based, how much traffic they're getting to the website, what kind of competitors and complementary technologies they're working with, what kind of revenues they're generating. So you can get a really good picture of these companies and then make an educated decision as to whether these are the kind of companies that you want to go after. And then on the contact side as well, we have over 400 million contacts within our database, and that would include phone, email, social profiles, everything that you need to, then reach out and speak with these decision makers. And just a quick point actually on social before we move on. Social is one of these channels that I think really does offer a broad array of information on your clients. And it's, again, something that I find that people overlook quite a lot. They're very focused on getting phone numbers, email addresses, which is completely understandable. And obviously you need that. But I think making sure that you make the most of social, like LinkedIn, is really important, because you get a real treasure trove of information on your clients. What are their pain points? What are they interested in? What kind of news articles they're kind of interacting in? All this kind of stuff is going to be super important in terms of understanding those decision makers. And obviously you can then reach out to them directly on the social platforms, which is super handy as well. Okay, so step four, so once we've identified the companies and the contacts, the next step then is putting together our content. So we should by now have an idea, as we were saying, of the companies we're going after, the people within the company we're going after. The next step now is creating that content for those different companies and for those different personas. And like I said before, with that omni-channel approach, it might be that depending on who you're reaching out to, certain channels are going to be more effective in delivering that content than others. The most important thing is making sure that this content is super tailored and super relevant to the people that you're reaching out to create maximum engagement with that content. So once you've created the content, we should be ready now to start launching the campaign. And this is the stage, come back to it again, where sales and marketing really need to be super, super aligned. Sales need to be aware that, we're ready to start reaching out to the prospects. They need to be aware of the content and the messaging behind the campaign. And so again, this is why we can't afford to have marketing and sales working in different silos. They really need to be working closely together throughout the process, but particularly at the point of launch. And then the final step is really, again, this feedback loop. So, taking learnings from the campaign, what went well, what didn't, performance metrics, like what was the ROI from the campaign, what was the duration of the campaign, all of these things will help you then determine the success of the campaign, and then obviously bringing it back then to the next campaign, what can you do better in the future moving forward?
Great. That's a great step-by-step breakdown. And you mentioned in there that having a great sales intelligence tool is going to make a world of difference. So SimilarWeb being one of those, how does SimilarWeb help with that piece or those couple of pieces where that's so important?
Yeah, so it all comes back to data. I mean, everything that we spoke to there really does rely on data, whether it's understanding the right companies, finding the right companies, finding the right contacts, putting together relevant content you know, for that audience and for those companies, you need data to back that up. And this is where sales intelligence tools like SimilarWeb can really help. You know, we provide key bits of data that is really going to help you put together your ABM campaigns from start to finish, as I was alluding to before, those kind of key performance metrics in terms of finding companies, particularly in the e-commerce space as well. It's a constantly changing, constantly evolving market. And so, you know, simply going onto Google, for example, and, you know, finding the top 50, you know, e-commerce companies in the US, that list is going to be out of date within a month's time. So you need that data to be constantly refreshed. And that's where obviously tools like SimilarWeb can really help. But I think finding those companies is just one part of it. I think actually being able to reach out with, you know, engaging messages is a big part of that. And that really goes back to our previous podcast around consultative selling, you know, using data to your advantage when it comes to actually reaching out to these companies, using a data-driven consultative approach to take the messaging away from, you know, not just about your products and services, but actually offering them valuable insights into their marketplace, their competitors, what's going on. And then specifically, obviously, how you can help is going to be really, really impactful in terms of increasing your win rate and increasing the amount of deals that you're able to win. So again, sales intelligence tools like SimilarWeb help to bring everything in one place. They've got, you know, we've got a wide variety of different data points that you can utilize, as well as obviously the contacts piece to go on top of that as well. So we're just here to make your life easier, really.
Makes sense. Sounds, yeah, very helpful. Makes a big difference. Well, any last tips or tricks for the sales reps out there that are maybe thinking about, you know, taking that first step and doing a little bit of ABM? What do you think they should do today?
Yeah, so I would definitely do some more research. I mean, hopefully this podcast has been useful, but I would, you know, encourage you to do further research into it. I think ABM is one of these strategies that you really need to do well. I know that sounds obvious, but because it's so strategic and so focused, I think it's definitely worth taking a bit of time before you start an ABM campaign. And again, you'll have marketers that you can work with that will probably be, you know, well-versed and well-experienced in these kind of strategies, but it's definitely worth taking some time to really understand and really get comfortable with this concept of ABM. Because like I said at the top of the piece, I think one of the things that sales reps can get a little bit put off by maybe is the fact that the number of companies, again, that you're going after is going to be relatively small or smaller compared to general campaigns where you're going after the masses. But we've gone obviously over the reasons why that is the case. So get yourself familiar with it. I definitely have a chat with the marketing team about it, get well-versed about it, and then start thinking about how some of the companies maybe, you know, within your target list that you could start to go after. I'm sure there's probably a couple in there that you think, you know, they need something a bit different to what we're doing at the moment. Maybe this more strategic focused approach is the way to go. So start to have a think about that. Maybe, you know, speak to some other sales reps and see if they've had some experience with it as well. And then, you know, dip your toe in the water, you know, test it out and see how you do. I think, you know, like I said, when I've seen ABM work well, it's just been a game changer for companies. So I would highly recommend trying it out for sure.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Well, thank you so much, Simeon, for coming back and joining us again on the Predictable Revenue Podcast. Pleasure having you as always. If people want to learn more from you, if they want to get in touch with you, where can they do that?
Yeah, so feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I think as part of this podcast, we're going to be, we have a dedicated landing page for SimilarWeb around account-based marketing, which will be kind of covering some of the points I've discussed today. And it'll also kind of give you the ability to reach out to us directly if you wanted some more information about SimilarWeb, sales intelligence, obviously how that can support the business as well. So either one of those, feel free to reach out and we'd be happy to help.
Perfect. Yeah. We'll pop the link to that landing page in the show notes and in the blog so you guys can find it easy peasy. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for joining us again, Simeon. It was great having you. And thank you to all of you guys for joining us for another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. If you haven't already, please hit that subscribe link on YouTube so that you can be notified each week when we have wonderful guests like Simeon Atkins joining us and sharing tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be in sales development, marketing, all of those things. Thank you so much. We'll catch you again next week.